Good afternoon, brethren. Welcome back to YAG. And we're going to have a time of singspiration. So, this half of the year, we started on a new series on the book of Psalms. And we began with Psalm 4. And if you looked at the notes, at the end of the notes that Pastor Mark gave us and sent to us, there are 2 points. Lessons learned. One, to understand the need for prayer as we go through times of distress. And two, to live righteously as it matters to the Lord as we turn to Him in prayer. And the word distress, when we were reading this psalm, it actually evoked quite a bit of emotions. Why? As I was seated behind listening. Next slide. Yeah, why? 29th of May, I can't remember, is it 29th or 30th? I know it was the first Saturday of the start of the school holidays. I was just having breakfast at the food center, and then I finished. I was on my way home. And then I received a call from my dad. And when I picked the call up, he said, Chen, I'm now at Geylang East Hawker Center, and the same thing happened in Da Nang as it happened today. So that means something happened when we were in Vietnam, and then it seems like the same thing happened. And then, so in Da Nang, my dad kind of like lost consciousness. Yeah, it was quite a scary episode. We were on a hill, and then his eyes roll back, and then drooling. So it seems like the same thing had happened. And then in the background, I heard somebody saying, I can't feel his pulse. I'm trying to get a pulse, and I can't feel his pulse. So I was a bit confused, because if you can't feel my dad's pulse, why is he talking on the phone to me? So I kind of panicked a little, because like, what's going on, right? So immediately, thankfully, it's just across the bridge. So I quickly walked and ran over, and this was the scene before I arrived. So you can see there's this guy lying on the ground with his phone. Can click. Yeah. So this man, this actually was taken by my brother. My brother was having breakfast there. He didn't even know that was my dad, but it turns out this was my dad. Yeah. And then when I arrived, that's when the medical personnel explained to me that when they tried to detect a pulse, they couldn't feel anything. So they did 2 chest compressions. I don't know, is it just pump 2 times or is it 2 cycles? 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4. And then he regained consciousness. So, yeah, and it was really a very distressful situation. And he was brought to hospital, did a whole series of scans, brain scan, heart scan, triple rule out, whatever can be done, could be done. Because when they brought him in, there were a couple of blood test readings that were high, which were suggestive of either a heart injury or a heart failure that has not been picked up. At the end of all the scans, the doctor called me on the phone on Sunday and said, actually, we found nothing, and your dad's heart is actually working well. It's quite strong. So thank God. But as I reflected over this whole episode, I discovered afresh why it is so important for us to have that relationship with God in prayer. And why it is so important for us to have a life of prayer. Not only at the moment when distress happens, but that whole life of prayer. Because when the whole account was recounted to me, the first thing was that my dad was with his friend. So that's one. And the next thing, that when this thing happened, next slide, this place was actually just right opposite this clinic. So when it happened, somebody was with him. He could have been alone because he was exercising. Somebody was with him, and for some reason, this thing happened only when he was opposite the clinic, so they could get somebody from the clinic to immediately attend to him. And I discovered afresh for myself the Lord's mercies and how important it is to have that life of prayer. And so, my reflection is, it continues to be critical to develop a relationship with the Lord in prayer, to get my life right before the Lord in prayer. It's not that distress won't happen, but it is to know that when I have that relationship with the Lord in prayer, when I live right before the Lord, not that I'm so good, but when I have that relationship with the Lord in prayer and we pray, the Lord will hear and the Lord will show His mercy as it reads in Psalm 4. Right? And these words are probably not words that come out just randomly, but David has that relationship with the Lord in prayer. And when things happen, naturally the recourse, the instinct is to turn to Him in prayer. And there's that assurance that God hears those He has set apart for Himself. So, as we continue on with our study of the Psalms, may our encouragement be to really develop a relationship with the Lord and really develop a life of prayer in relating to the Lord. And the song that I've chosen is Still My Soul Be Still. And it's a song that I'm speaking to myself as well. Yeah, because now I still have, like, sometimes when I get a call and I see it's my dad or my mom, is there something happening? So it is something that I'm still having to learn how to cultivate, to commit things to the Lord, to trust in Him. So may we be encouraged as we sing this song, Still My Soul Be Still.
Okay, thank you, Wei Qian. Really appreciate what you shared. And you never know how prayer can make a difference in who we are and how we stand before the Lord truly does matter. And may we continue to develop our prayer life. Okay, before we take up the Lord's word again, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessings. So, gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for this wonderful privilege of prayer. May we continue to develop our prayer life. We recognize how important it is to be able, Lord, to have this access to you and to seek your mercies and your grace. We pray also that you will grant us wisdom and understanding, enlightenment to be able to understand your words that much more, even as we study the book of Psalms. Pray that you will bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we were looking at Psalm 5. So let's just review a little bit. Psalm 4, we were looking at how we ought to approach God based upon our righteousness. Prayer for David, he learned to focus on God of my righteousness. He knew that how God will set apart those who are godly, and how there was a greater sense of confidence in knowing that God can and will answer his prayers based upon his righteousness. Now, last week, Psalm 5, then we went on to talk about how if we don't have a continuing correct approach, our lives can be tainted with self-righteousness. Right, we can be righteous, but that righteousness can be tainted with self-righteousness if we become so much focused on our righteousness and we end up making imprecatory prayers, right? And there were a lot of questions that came up concerning imprecatory prayers. And I understand we're all trying to figure it out. Now, next week, I will take it up a little bit more. Psalm 7 does deal a little bit more with this idea of vindication and imprecatory prayers. So David thought that he was doing well, righteous, you know, with his righteousness. But then he began to look down on others and pronouncing, them guilty. Now, we also looked at this idea of form of prayer. So we can have a right form of prayer, but we can have a wrong spirit in the way we pray. And especially if we become judgmental, angry, and so on and so forth. Let me just very quickly explain a little bit what imprecatory is, and then we will live it. and take it up again next week, right? So this word is actually comes from this word, Latin word, imprecare. The idea here is to invoke evil or to invoke a curse, and to so this really is the word imprecatory or imprecare in Latin, and the idea is to call upon. Now, of course, in the context of the Psalms, it is, or any part of the other imprecatory prayers in the Bible, is really to invoke God to bring about judgment or to even curse or things like that. Right? Now, again, I will explain it even more next week as we deal with Psalm 7. And so the question that's been raised is, how do we understand the place of imprecatory prayers? Now, of course, we need to also understand that there's a place for what we call vindication. That means ultimately, we leave it to God. He is judge. And we want to be able to recognize that God is the one who will bring about his judgment upon evil and the wicked, and so on and so forth. But we also don't want to come to a point where, which is what we talked about last week, we end up being self-righteous and we pronounce judgment and in a way already deciding how God should act. And so I will show you a little bit more as to how we should approach this as we go into Deuteronomy 32 in a while. But that is how we want to be able to understand. Now, we come to Psalm 6. Now, Psalm 6 is a totally different scenario, right? As we see a cluster, right, Psalm 4, Psalm 5, and we come to Psalm 6, what we see is actually the chastening of the Lord. And so, God sought to chasten David for his sins that he has committed. Now, for some psalms, the sins are a little bit clearer. But for some, we need a bit of background to actually appreciate this. So as I stated, Psalm 5, we are talking about how he was tainted with self-righteousness. He didn't really focus on his own sins, but rather he upskilled the wickedness of the sins of others. And he probably ended up with a wrong assessment of himself in that sense. Okay, now, how do we understand the sins of David? So it's not stated very clearly, but we want to be able to at least try and appreciate. It's not just one sin. So even as we talk about self-righteousness, it is never just one sin. Okay? When you talk about sin, there are three types of sin, right? We talked about there's sin itself, which is the question of not doing what you ought to. Then there's transgression, right? And then there is iniquities, which is the evil. Transgression is that you do something and it's wrong, right? Iniquities is basically the evil that is within you. So, at any time, we all will have these three things. We would have sin, transgression, iniquities. The intent that is within us, that is the, or evil intent, that is the question of iniquity. But let's turn to Deuteronomy 32 for a while. And we've been looking at this at youth worship. But let's just review a little bit. Some of the sins that were said about Israel, and we can also safe to say, at least some of them, David also had problems with. Okay? For instance, in Psalm 32, verse 5, they have corrupted themselves, they are not his children because of their blemish. So, is there blemish in the life of David? The answer is yes. right? A perverse and crooked generation, do you thus deal with the Lord? O foolish and unwise people. Was David foolish and unwise? Yes. So these are some of the things that we could raise up concerning Israel, but also for David as part of Israel. Okay, go on a little bit. Verse 15, right? Jeshurun grew fat and kicked, right? Basically, what he's talking about here is rebellion. So he's angry, he kicked, you know, against something. You grew fat and grew thick. Then you forsook the Lord. He forsook God, who made him scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation, and so on and so forth. So, were there some of these sins in David also? The answer is yes. And it's in all of us, right? Sometimes we are foolish in our ways. We end up in sin. We are unwise. We end up doing things that become blemishes in our lives. And one of them, of course, was self-righteousness. Now, this is consistent to Israel throughout. They never change. They were consistently like this all the time. So you look at David, Psalm 4, there was a struggle with anger, right? But he tried very hard to keep it in check. Psalm 5, the anger manifested, there came self-righteousness. And then when you come to Psalm 6, God had to chasten him. Right? And there were many sins. There were transgressions, there were sins, there were iniquities. So these were the things that we want to be able to appreciate. Now, of course, we highlight some of these things. Doesn't mean that he turned to idolatry, you know. No. So that's why I say it's only some. But were there still a number of sins? The answer is yes. So with that kind of thinking, we really need to rethink how we should approach prayer. Because in going through that chastisement of the Lord, and we see this in David as he prayed. Okay, let's just go back now. Sorry, let's go to Psalm 6 now. And it will help us to understand Psalm 6 a little bit more. Okay, so let's look at Psalm 6. And we read in, okay, what was it that really caused pain and difficulties to David? So he had to face all kinds of affliction. For instance, enemies. Verse 7. Right? Because of all my enemies. Right? Verse 10. Let all my enemies. And then, of course, there were workers of iniquities. In verse 8. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. So this was the context in which the afflictions came. But the afflictions came as part of God's chastisement. So this is actually God inflicting suffering upon David through these enemies. Okay? And what was his experience? Well, there came great distress and weakness as a result. So let's look at verse 2 now. Right? Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. Notice the difference? From righteousness, right, tainted with self-righteousness, now we see him really weak. There comes a point, in which he feels great weakness. Okay? Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, hear me, for my bones are troubled, my soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? So there's physical weakness, there is soul weakness. He is going through a very distressing time. Okay, so we need to actually understand what's happening to David. And He raises this issue of time, right? But you, oh Lord, how long? How long is this going to last? How long before you bring about deliverance? He's going through a lot of pain and distress. And then we also read in verse 5. For in death there is no remembrance of you in the grave. Who will give you thanks? There were thoughts of death, right? He's thinking, if you don't deliver me, soon I will possibly die. I go to the grave. Who's going to give thanks? So he's struggling. And we see the weakness now. And then in Psalm 6, verse 6, you see the depressive feelings coming in. Right? So if you ever want to somehow determine whether you or anybody else is going through depression, well, this is it. I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. Wow. There is a lot of tears. Where you're shedding, you know, a lot of tears, and I drench my couch with my tears. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. This reflects someone who is actually depressed, where you're crying all the time, you cannot sleep, you are in pain, you're depressed, and your eyes waste away, right? You can see. When you look at a person and you see, actually, you can look at a person's face, it tells a lot. Whether the person is depressed or not. And you can tell. Right? And all the signs of depression. So you see the other extreme. Comes to a point where David recognized how weak he really is and how sinful he really is. Because God had to bring him to a point in which to realize, actually, I'm not that righteous. I'm actually full of sin. And it's not just self-righteousness. There are other sins that he is struggling with. And God had to bring about that correction. So then we come to verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. So he recognizes God is rebuking him through the afflictions of life. God is angry with him. Right? Do not chasten me in your hot displeasure. He recognizes that God is actually correcting him. See, a lot of us don't like being corrected. Nobody likes. But if you are willing to admit that I'm wrong and I'm being corrected, right? With rebukes, with anger, with being corrected, being chastened, and with recognizing that God is displeased with us. See, David had to come a point that he needed to be humble. He needed to recognize that actually I'm really not that great. I'm really not that righteous, actually. Right? Psalm 5, he was tainted by self-righteousness. See, that's the danger, actually. When you do something good, and the next moment, you can feel pride, actually. That you're proud of, oh, actually, I'm not that bad. When you have that kind of thought, already you are in danger already. And you allow yourself, and after a while, it breeds itself. It becomes self-righteousness, or you're tainted with self-righteousness. And, you know, in Psalm 6, there is no longer self-righteousness. You don't see this anymore. It's changed. right? He's being corrected and he's changing. He recognizes the sorrow, you know, so the sorrow that he feels, he's humbled, he fears the Lord, and he pleads with the Lord. And he pleads the Lord not to prolong his chastisement. Right? So, when you talk about prayer, while, yes, righteousness does play a part, but we also want to recognize that actually we are far more sinful. And we really ought to approach God in the most humble manner. See, what did David learn from this? He recognizes that I'm actually very weak. We are prone to sin. So each time when we pray to God, actually the right approach is to be very conscious of how weak and sinful we are. Because then we recognize the need for God. We recognize that, you know, so we really need to come before God and check ourselves. Are we all that righteous? Now, it doesn't mean that then we go the other side, no point trying to be righteous. That's not the point. We do want to live in righteousness, and it matters to God. But yet, at the same time, yet we all see ourselves correctly in its totality. We are really not all that righteous. So when you come to Psalm 6, we see David through the dire circumstances that he was going through, caused him to rethink as to how he ought to approach God. Right? So he was being humbled. It was a bit of a wake-up call for him. He needed to rethink the spirit in which he prayed. And so when we pray, we always need to ask ourselves, what is our spirit as we come before God? At any time, even if we are doing good, even if we have some success, even if we see that, okay, we are improving and we are a bit more righteous, we ought to approach still with the right spirit. Because if we take the approach that David took earlier, we will find ourselves really not having the right spirit. So we have a form of prayer, but our spirit is still wrong. And therein lies the danger, and we end up needing correction. See, you notice Psalm 5, he prays for certain things. Did God answer those prayers? The answer is no. See, that's part of it also. We recognize that at the end of the day, God did not answer those prayers. The breakthrough prayers that he prayed. They were still enemies. He was still struggling and dealing. In fact, it may have become worse. Right? For him to actually feel the chastisement of the Lord and to be sensitive. And one of the things that we want to appreciate about David is that when he is corrected, when he is being chastised, he was humble. He's always humble enough to recognize that and sensitive enough to repent. So actually Psalm 6 can be considered one of the penitential psalms also, right? We'll go into Psalm 51 in a while, but it's also actually, to a certain extent, a penitential psalm because he is recognizing what he has done. He is being humbled and he's learning how to pray in humility, sorrow, earnestness, even desperation. Can you see this? So we want to be able to have that kind of approach, right? That is truly humble. So when we pray, I think that's key. That always, there must be that humility. I mean, you look at how David then sought to pray. Right? He actually changed. He actually changed his approach. Okay, what do you think? Joe, what do you think? I've not heard from you for a while. Joseph.
I think personally, if I were to be really candid and honest as I look back, there definitely will be times when we enter into prayer and there isn't that full consciousness of our state before God. And I think that also tends to happen when we're in a desperate situation.
Yeah.
Which is what we see here in David's case.
Yeah.
And it's also scary to think that the prayer could have been made in a wrong spirit and I don't recognize it until much later.
Yeah. You're right. That's the thing, you see. The problem is that we cannot see. Right? God sees things differently. He sees you exactly as it is. As you say, you know, we talk about being candid. But you're right. The problem is that we cannot see ourselves until God had to bring about certain things to help you, to help David, to chastise him, afflictions of life. And then you then realize, okay, this is God's way of telling me. And it really is scary, as you say. Because we can go on praying, thinking that everything is fine, but it's not. And especially when we take a far more so-called righteous approach. So this, while necessary, can also cause us to tend to think that we are okay. So the challenge is, as you say, we need to be very candid with ourselves. Are we all that righteous? Right? And yet, can God also help us in our circumstances? The answer is yes. So let's go on and look at verse 4. You see the way in which David changed his approach in prayer. Okay? So in verse 4, he prays, "Return, O Lord, deliver me." Notice? Return. He tells God to return. Meaning, somehow along the way, God seemed far away. Right? David knew he had gone away from God. Every time we sin, every time we allow sin to get the better of us, we are drawing away. And of course, he humbly pleaded, "God, please return." Why? Because it's only when God returns, then he will deliver. Right? It's no longer about his righteousness. So, return. You need to see your relationship with God being restored. Secondly, he pleads for God's mercies. Verse 2, verse 4. Right? "Have mercy on me." Verse 4, "Return, O Lord, deliver me. Oh, save me for your mercy's sake." Pleaded with God for his mercies. Now, how do we know that this is very much similar to a penitential approach? Well, Psalm 51. Let's go to Psalm 51 and just put your finger here. And in Psalm 51, verse 1, we see this. "Have mercy upon me, O God." Notice. First thing that he prays about, mercy. Right? "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. That is what we ought to plead for. See, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. See the four things there? Sorry, the three things, right? And cleanse me from my sin. And you see this route, right? Transgression, sin, iniquity. Okay? So David now has the correct approach in praying. Now, just put your finger at Psalm 51. Go back to Psalm 6. And we see another aspect. So he pleads for God to return. He pleads for God's mercies. And then in verse 8, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. So very much David was praying with tears. And it reflects a heart that is truly humbled and contrite before the Lord. Right? It is a broken and contrite heart. Genuine heartfelt prayers. Right? And again, this is a very similar principle. So when we look at Psalm 51, you're looking at principles that are consistent when you talk about a penitential prayer. So in Psalm 51, we also see this in verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. This is what pleases God. A broken and contrite heart. Now, how do you, right, end up with a broken and contrite heart? Is where you recognize how sinful we are, how we look at the afflictions of life, and we come to a point to see the weakness there is there. And we are humbled before God. And God looks at that. Right? When we are repentant and we shed tears before Him. See, often our prayers are just forms of prayer. In reality, how often do we actually make this kind of prayers? And yet, it is this kind of prayers that God is looking for. Right? Where we recognize how sinful we are and we repent genuinely, it is truly heartfelt. And we are greatly humbled. And this is the right spirit of prayer. And that's why I wrote in the For Grace Work this week, which I mentioned last week, about a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Right? Form of prayer, wrong spirit, I fast twice a week, I give tithes and so on and so forth. But then the tax collector did not even look up to God, beat his breast, and just says, Lord, I'm a sinner. And truly, truly, genuinely, pray in that kind of spirit. How often are our prayers like that? Right? So this is something that I'm also recognizing. We don't pray in the right spirit often enough. It is just praying. Right? And yet, it is such prayers that God answers. So going back to Psalm 6, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Verse 9. The Lord has heard my supplication. Right? The Lord will receive my prayer. And then in verse 8, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled, let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. So this is God's protection, ultimately. This is hope. So I hope this will really help you to rethink how we are actually approaching God in prayer. The imprecatory part is, okay, you know, somewhat complex, and we will figure it a bit more next week. But ultimately, what is the spirit in which we all pray? And it's good to actually check ourselves. Because far often than not, we look at ourselves and we tend to see ourselves far more righteous than far more weak and sinful and humble. Right? We tend to think that actually we are pretty okay. And therein lies the danger. Therein lies the difficulty. If God is looking for something else in our prayers, so that he can see us, he can recognize our true state, and then answer our prayers accordingly. Okay. Kate, what do you think?
Yeah, I think David faced what some of us face. I know I face as well, which is sometimes when things are going okay, like what you said, we have a form of righteousness, not fullness of it.
Yeah.
We forget. And we need this reality check to remind us again that just to think soberly and to know that actually we are still full of weakness, sin, and struggles.
Yeah.
And our posture of prayer before the Lord should only be with that broken and contrite heart and spirit.
Yeah, it's good for us, as you say, you know, we tend to forget that actually how righteous are we actually in the eyes of God. See, we tend to compare, okay, actually I'm pretty okay. I look around, you know, not too bad. Right? I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You can be even comparing yourself as before, right? Oh, I used to be this, now I'm like this. Hey, actually, I'm doing better now. True. But then, are we all that righteous? So the danger is whenever there's some growth or improvement, nothing wrong with that, and it's important, and we ought to grow, and we want to be able to rejoice and be thankful, but we also be careful. The problem with the human nature of many of us is that in that moment, sin can come to the forefront, pride can come in, self-righteousness can come in, and affect us. Therein lies the challenge. So for us to learn this afternoon, some six, it gives us, okay, this is the right disposition and posture that we ought to have each time we pray. Seriously. Right? And really being able to recognize that we all need the mercies of the Lord. We all need to come before the Lord with the right approach. So humility is key. So each time when we, you know, we recognize God as we go through challenges, difficulties. Maybe God is chastening us. We need to learn, especially from correction. When we are corrected, can we learn humbly? Right? And with a broken and contrite spirit? Can we learn? Can we ask the Lord, Lord, I need for you to return to me, right? I really recognize that I need your mercies. And just be very open and very candid before him. Who are we at the end of the day? So I think part of the problem is not just... Part of the problem, of course, is, as you say, we need to be very candid with ourselves. We need to have a true state of ourselves. But our understanding of God is either limited or not as clear as we ought to have, and especially about his holiness, right? We just studied about God's holiness in family camp, you know. But after a while, the sense of regard and reverence is lost. We go about our daily lives and we tend to think, okay, everything is fine. Right? Even after camp, you feel, wow, actually, I feel a bit holier. Okay, wow, suddenly, already, you have a bit of a problem. I mean, that's the challenge. Now, it doesn't mean that we all need to be depressed all the time, and that's not the point also. But it's really being able to understand our true state. And yet, really appreciating God's grace and mercy. Let's turn to, go back to Psalm 32 anyway, we'll end. Right? Deuteronomy 32. And verse 36. And he says here, for the Lord will judge his people. True. He will bring about judgment. Right? Whether it's chastisement, whether it's outright judgment. And have compassion on his servants. Ah. See, God has different roles. On one hand, he will judge. On the other hand, he is also our Redeemer, our Savior. When he sees that your power is gone, see? When you are weak, when you are humble, your power is gone. So Israel came to a point where they recognized, wow, we all have really nothing before God. There's no power anymore. And they are humble. Right? And that's where God will show compassion. Will he be willing to show compassion upon us? Yes, definitely. Right? And I think that's something for us to think about. Well, even as you go into your groups to talk a little bit, you know, let's be a bit more candid, let's be a bit more open and recognize how truly it's important for us to have the right spirit in prayer. Yeah, sure.
I just had a question to ask because in Psalm 6, right, I think verse 5, where David says, for in death there is no remembrance of you, and in the grave who will give you thanks.
Yeah.
To me, when I read it, I it comes across to me with a sense of entitlement. So is it right to say that at this point of time, David probably still hadn't actually humbled himself fully?
Well, so here we read, right? Okay, he pleads, he saved me for your mercy's sake. In death, there is no... Yeah, so there's still that struggle. So next week, we also see the struggle again. It comes up again. So it doesn't mean that once you are there, everything is resolved, no.
Yeah, because as I was just thinking that like one of, as in the reason why, I mean, we are so, we forget and we don't humble ourselves truly with a broken and contrite spirit. Also sometimes because we take the Lord's mercy for, in a way like a reward.
For granted.
Like, or like, you know, like you say the Lord's merciful. Actually, that was the Lord withholding things that he could have, judgment that he could have passed on you. But then to us, we view it as like a, oh, okay, so whatever we prayed before was good enough.
Yeah.
And then we go forward and proceed
with
that.
Yeah, correct.
Basis.
Precisely, you see.
Yeah.
You're right. Should we not keep on recognizing that if it's not one sin, it's another sin? Right? That consistently we need to look to God for his mercies.
Yeah. So and I was just thinking, like, when we talk about the spirit in which we pray, it's really going to be borne out by after prayer as well. How do we live our lives?
And, of course,
like, we make that prayer in such a broken
state. Contrite spirit. Yeah. But there's repentance, lah.
Yeah. Is
right?
It true repentance?
Yes, really, that's right.
How you live
to a large
life.
Extent, definitely. Right, but yet, even if you are more righteous, there is still right.
Yeah.
So it's consistently, no matter. That's the thing, you see. That's why Isaiah puts it across. Our righteousness are but filthy rags before God. So yes, we want to be more righteous. That is the way to go, right? As we repent. But even so, as we come before God, who are we? So it's an interesting, do I call it balance or flow or balance or how you want to put it. But, you know, it's really just being very candid and open before God. How we are really before God. Seriously, at any time. Okay? Yeah, good. Good for you to think it through. Okay, let's pray and then we can go into our groups. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that even as we come before you, we recognize how sinful, how unworthy we truly are. That even if we are somewhat righteous, yet we recognize how our righteousness are just filthy rags. We ought to have the right spirit in coming for you and recognizing how weak we are and how we really ought to be humbled before you. Help us, Lord, to continue to discover the right spirit in the way we pray to you consistently and ask that you will bless. Bless us even as we give an offering. May you use it to minister to others in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.